Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is Exodus chapter 39, the second to last chapter in the book of Exodus. Obviously, we have a continuation here of chapter 38 in the description of some of the appurtenances of the tabernacle. So the first word is "and," right? Here we go. Chapter 39, verse 1, "Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin plates, and cut it into wires, to work it in the blue, and in the purple, and in the scarlet, and in the fine linen with cunning work. They made shoulder pieces for it, to couple it together. By the two edges it was coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they wrought onyx stones, enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. It was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in the ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made two ouches of gold and two gold rings. And they put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the two ends of the two wreathen chains they fastened in the two ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of an habergeon, with a band around the hole, that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe round about between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tacks, his boards, his bars, and his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, and the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We have, within the last year or so, completed a sermon series on the garments of Aaron, as they relate and are typical to the work of Jesus Christ. So I think that we'll not enter minutely into these things, only to say that these garments, generally speaking, are royal garments. They are intercessory garments. They are garments that speak of bearing their burdens and also bearing them mercifully. They are the children of Israel are set forth in this passage by way of typology as two things. First of all, as burdens upon the shoulders, and second of all, as lovely upon the heart. Both things are true. Our Lord Jesus Christ has borne our sins upon his shoulders, and he's borne those sins because he thinks of us as precious things upon his heart. That is true. That breastplate also has in it a pocket for judgment, and so the Lord reserves judgment for his people as well. And so the judgment that falls upon Christ does not mean the exhausting of all judgment with regard to the people of God. It is certainly the exhausting of all condemnation. But the Lord still judges his people. Judgment begins at the house of God. And all of that is still true. And so we have within that very breastplate that had the 12 precious stones on it with the names of the children of Israel, we also had that pocket for the Urim and Thummim, that pocket of judgment. And so it was called the breastplate of judgment. We have the royal dignity of Aaron, the crown upon his head. We have the holiness to the Lord, all of those things indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ, his royal dignity, that he is holy unto the Lord, that he is our sacrifice, bearing our sins upon his shoulders, and that we are carried by his conception of us as loveliness before the Father. And so all of those things are present in the Aaronic garments. The second thing that we do, as soon as that is done, there are some final details given about some of the cloths that are used inside the worship service. There are also those final details, and it goes from top to bottom. So there's the final accounting of everything that has been made. And that, once again, as we heard it described, if you remember the first week, it is from God's perspective and not our perspective. It begins in the Holy of Holies and works outward from there. Right? Because worship is worship from God's perspective first and foremost. And if we would begin to understand worship rightly, we would understand it from God's perspective and not our own. That it is service rendered unto Him. So we must develop His commandments, His desires, His stated purview over that worship. So inside out, not from the outside working in. And that teaches us that principle. The other thing that we see here is that all of this intricacy and all of this design, everything, it was all by the command of God. It was given by the Lord to Moses upon the mount. And so at the end of all of this, when we are just about ready to enter into service with all of these new artifacts, with all of these new things, it says that Moses looked upon everything that they had made, and behold, it was exactly as the Lord commanded. With all of that intricacy, with all of that detail, with all of those different pieces, with the knops and the flowers and the basins and the snuffers and the mortise and tenon and the tacks and the hooks and the rings and the staves and the crowns and the horns and all of those details. Every single one of them Moses received from the Lord, described and laid down in a pattern. The Spirit of God came upon those artisans, and so everything that was made was exactly according to the commandment. And because it was according to the commandment, or in response to the fact that it was in accordance with the commandment, Moses turns and blesses them. There is a blessing that is given on behalf of the Lord by Moses because the worship has been ordered according to the commandment of God. Well, that's really important. We see that even in our day. That there is a benediction that takes place at the end of our worship service. And it takes place at the end of our worship service because it is that blessing that we can expect to accrue to the people of God who gather before Him in accordance with His name, in accordance with His commandment, to offer up unto Him those spiritual services that begin from His point of view and work outward from there. So without going into a lot of details I believe we've already covered in our readings thus far and in our sermon series, we have that overarching understanding that worship is worship that is regulated. It is a regulated worship. It is that which God has ordered. And it will not behoove the people of God to trample the courts of God with something other than His commandment. Thus ends the reading then of Exodus chapter 39.